Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online service. Our theme for this year is Plus One, which encourages us to invite someone to join us in worship and fellowship. Our mission statement is simple. It's loving God, loving people, and loving life. We hope that this message will serve as a source of inspiration and encouragement for you. Each episode, we will explore different aspects of our faith, share stories of hope and healing, and discuss ways we can make a positive impact in our community and the world. So whether you're a longtime member of our church or just tuning in for the first time, we welcome you to join us on this journey. Let's make 2023 a year of growth, both for ourselves and for those around us. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
Come on, let's pray real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to minister today. No, it's not a man speaking. God, we invite you simply to share your heart today so that we can hook up with you and move farther and faster in this hour in which we're living. And so, Father, we give you all the praise in Jesus' wonderful name. And we all said, amen. Well, as I said, you know, the Bible says that there is such a thing as sowing and reaping, giving and receiving. And so everything within our life, we are endeavoring to give or sow something. And as we were sitting here, you know, I started to think of church just in general. If you're going to receive anything from church or from God, you have to be willing to make an investment, to sow. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking necessarily monetarily. I'm just saying you ought to have the mindset that I'm going to be a giver, whatever that looks like. And as a result, I'm going to receive from God. You know, we have not had rain in the last several days, right? I mean, it started out wet this spring, and now we've just got a lot of dry spots and patches, right? I mean, my yard's looking kind of bad now, getting kind of raggedy. Why? Because we haven't had water. Well, why haven't we had water? You realize that water comes from above, right? Water or moisture gets trapped up into the clouds, but it has to receive moisture. There has to be a dissipation or something that ascends in order for it to collect in the clouds, in order for the clouds to allow the water to descend, right? And therefore, maybe those clouds have been in different areas of the country and they've gathered up moisture, and the land has given up of its water, and it has started to accumulate rain or moisture within the clouds. But then if it goes through a dry area, a dry, hot region, it begins to dissipate or evaporate all the moisture that it's collected, right? Well, you know, we come and we praise God and we give Him our little hallelujahs from time to time. And, you know, the rain clouds begin to start to accumulate their rain in the clouds. But then we go through a dry patch. You know, it's been a good while before we've come to church, before we've even spent time in the Word, or before we've worshiped God. And then all of a sudden, we begin to see that the rain clouds, or what we would simply call the presence of God, the glory of God. Amen. We see it seem to dry up or dissipate. We're like, you know, how come? How come church just isn't what it used to be? Or how come we don't experience this or that? You realize if you want church to look a certain way, if you want to have an encounter with God in a certain way, if you're saying, I remember when there was a time when, remember when there was something that was given up to prepare what you've experienced in the past. Come on, am I preaching to anybody in here this morning? Come on, we've got a purpose to give something to God in order for Him to pour something out. Amen. We don't get something for nothing. You've got to be willing to invest or give something to God. It might be your praise. It might be your person of sitting in church saying, I'm coming together and bless God, I'm going to serve God. Amen. Now, let me just get on a soapbox. I don't know why this kind of came up in my heart. But you realize your children are a commodity that you sow. Hello? You sow your children into the local school systems every week, several hours a week. You send them to the lion's den. You send them into the pit of hell every week, day after day, week after week, year after year. We're investing our children into the world system. And yet we say, God, we want to see our kids on fire for God. Well, you've got to invest some other things in the life of your children in order to get what you want to see in the life of your children. Amen? I'll say this. Now, again, I'm going to get on a soapbox if that's all right. Can you handle me getting on a soapbox this morning? Amen. Well, you know, we've got a small youth group. And, you know, obviously small youth groups is it's building and it's growing. And therefore, you know, there can be individuals that say, well, I don't want to go to my youth group. I don't want to participate with them because it's a small group or whatever the case might be. But isn't it interesting that you'll invest your child into softball or baseball or hockey or whatever it is, you'll make the investment of your child into those things. And while your child is in those arenas of life, what's happening? They're developing relationships outside of the church. And you're saying, I wish my kid would experience some godly friendships and godly kids. But you know, when it comes to the kids of the church, I just don't make them go. I don't take them to church. Why? Because I don't want to force religion on them. Well, you pay the bill for them to play sports, and so doggone it, son, you're going to play whether you like it or not. I don't care if you're hurting. I don't care if that leg's broke. You're going to get out there and you're going to play. You know how much money that'll cost me, right? So you're willing to invest your child. Are you getting what I'm saying? You'll get out of life and get out of God what you're willing to invest. Amen. Now, let me take it a step further, if it's okay. I talked about this a little bit last week in regards to preference versus purpose. How many of you understand that God's purpose has not changed from the beginning? I said God's purpose has not changed from the beginning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But do you know that God does not have a preference as to what church ought to look like? In fact, for this matter, what you see as church in America is really just a westernized example of church, right? So you can't say, well, what we do or how we do it or how they do it down the road is the exact right way. No, it's just a representation of how we do church. Well, listen, I don't like the way you do church. It's not my preference. As I said, how many of you know that God does not have a preference? Now, the Bible does say this. He said, like, you know, here's one of those things that always kind of becomes one of the issues as to how you do church. And that is like, well, the music has changed over the years. I'm a certain way of liking music or the atmosphere of the church and all those kind of things. Well, you know, the Bible says in the scripture says, speaking to yourself in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. Right? And people will say, yes, bless the Lord. It says it right there in the scripture. The Bible says, get the hymns out. Right? Do you think that scripture was prophetic in the sense of saying there are certain hymns and hymn books that you're going to get down the road and make sure that those are the songs that you sing? No, a hymn is nothing more than a style or a way of worship. Hello? And so here's my point. There is a young generation that does not know Jesus. And this young generation needs an old generation that will say, I was young once. I had a preference. But listen, it's not about my preference anymore. It's about His purpose. And His purpose is you. So therefore, I'm willing to do whatever it takes for God's purpose to get you into the kingdom of God. Amen. What are you doing? You're sowing or investing your own personal preference for God's purpose for this hour and generation. Amen. You might say, well, I don't like the way it's done. Listen, methods change. The message stays the same. Amen. You know, I like to go fishing. And this past week, Friday. I decided to go up and go walleye fishing out at the Saginaw Bay. Well, I was bound to determine. I've been purposing to learn how to fish with what's called hard baits. You know, it's the baits with the hooks on it. And you pull them behind the boat. And I have not had any luck. There's a method of fishing in this manner. Now, there's all kinds of guys out there that are just cleaning up. I mean, they're catching fish, just filling up the coolers. And that's the way they're fishing. Well, you know, I'm out there and I'm trying to fish with those kind of baits. And we're fishing and we're fishing and we're fishing. And I'm not catching anything with those kind of baits. Now, I could just say, well, you know what? This is how we're going to do it, bless God. I'm not catching any fish, not seeing any results, not getting any fish in the boat. But this is how we're going to do it because this is the way they say you're supposed to do it. No, I knew that there was something that I could catch them with. And therefore, I changed over the method of how I was catching the walleye fish. And soon as I changed over the method, I began to catch fish. We began to catch fish. And by the time I was off, we had a cooler full of fish. Amen. And it was simply because we were willing to roll with the punches and say, you know what? Whatever's catching them, that's what we're going to use. Are you hearing my heart this morning? You've got to be willing to invest and sow for the hour that we live in, because there is a great end time harvest that Jesus is bringing home. And there is a young generation, listen, that does not know Jesus. The older generation that is in this room, you've only known a nation that has preached Jesus. You've grown up in the church maybe, but there is a generation that does not know who Jesus is. And I told you, this was probably 15 years ago. I was in California and I ran into a valet young lady. She was at the hotel. And so we got to talking to her and we asked her, I think she was from Mexico. She might have been somebody that had come into the country. And so we asked her, do you know who Jesus is? And she says, who? Do you know who Jesus is? No. You've never heard about Jesus, that he's the Son of God and that he came to die for us? Never heard of him. We got to share Jesus with her. And here there is a young lady. Once again, like I said, this is probably 15, close to 20 years ago. The culture that we live in today does not know Jesus. Amen. I was talking with a group, our lead team, as we was getting started this morning. There's a group that goes out to the county fairs and the community activities. They call it the Godmobile, I believe. And so they share Jesus wherever they go. And Sim, he was saying that he was talking to two young boys, and the one guy says, well, I don't believe in God. He says, in fact, in school, this is what they teach us. And so Sim decided, well, I know how to answer that question. God's prepared me. God's given me ammunition, and I'm loaded for bear. And so he began to talk to this young boy, and before he got into the conversation very long, the kid says, I want to do that. I want Jesus. Amen. So listen, there is a culture that the culture is telling them, you don't need Jesus. You can go to heaven any which way you want to because God is love. No, he so loved you that he sent his son Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So I'm trying to help you understand that there is a mandate that this church has called us to be and to do. Amen. If you listen to my playlist, it doesn't necessarily sound like GVC music. It has a little bit of twang. Yeehaw! Amen. Is that helping anybody this morning? Because here's the thing. As you give today, I want you to understand that you're giving into future generations. I said you're giving into future generations. Praise God. God's got things to do, and he wants to use you. Amen. As I said, man, that's so big in my heart that there needs to be an older generation that will come alongside of a younger generation. I'm not saying a younger or an older generation that comes alongside the younger and says, this is how we did it. The older generation needs to come up alongside of the younger generation and give them testimonies of their encounters with God. Their testimonies will cause a younger generation to be hungry for God. Nobody cares about the rules and the how-tos and the hoops to jump through and the way you used to do. They only want to know that there is a God that is real. Amen. And when you begin to share your stories of the God that is real, they begin to experience. In fact, you know, I had this dream just the other day of a friend of mine. He's one of my best friends that I went to high school with. We still stay in contact together. And I know his heart is tender for the things of God, but he's not walking with Jesus. And this is the dream that I have. And so I can't wait until the next time that I get with him. Because in my dream, this is what I began to talk to my friend about. I began to talk to him about Jesus. And as I began to talk to him about Jesus, I said, listen, I know that you struggle in accepting how I live my life. But as I begin to talk to you, Jesus is going to come and sit down in the midst of us, and you're going to sense God's presence as I talk about him. Amen. Did you hear what I said? See, God's just waiting for an invitation. He's just waiting for an invitation. If you talk about him as being the healer, who do you think shows up? Jesus the healer. If you talk about Jesus the deliverer, who do you think shows up? Jesus the deliverer. If you start talking about Jesus, the one that paid the price of sin for all humanity, who do you think shows up? The Savior. Come on. And there's an anointing that comes alongside of that. That is a burden-removing, yoke-destroying power that is there to have them experience God and be set free. And all you have to do is be willing to give of yourself. Amen. I realize that we're in the midst of summer, and we get all excited about the times that we get to go away. In fact, I would dare to say that oftentimes we put more preparation in a weekend of getaway than we do in the preparation of going to church. Well, you don't understand. I work hard all week long, and I've been working, and I've been waiting for this, and we've been looking forward to it. And man, we planned, and we paid all this money for it. And man, it's going to be amazing. That's well and good, and I hope you have the time of your life. But listen, every time that we come to church, Jesus shows up. Every time we come to church, he shows up, the creator of the universe. And whatever I have need of, the answer is there for me to receive and experience the goodness of God. My vacation cannot compare to having an encounter with him. Amen. And isn't it interesting that, you know, people look to get away and go on vacations over the summer. And please don't hear me as saying that shouldn't happen. You ought to. Spend time with family. Get away. But don't take a vacation from God. When you come back from vacation, you ought to be so full of God and so refreshed naturally and spiritually, you're charged up. Man, you ought to be a new man and woman when you get back to church, not dragging with a sunburn thinking, dear God, I'm so, oh, can't wait till next weekend to recuperate. No, you ought to have had time away to say, whoo, I don't have to go to work. I get to spend time with my Father. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? And God's just looking to spend time with you if you will invest time with him. Last week we talked about this in the scripture in John chapter 15, verse 7. He says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you'll ask whatever you will and it will be given unto you. Amen? Amen. If you weren't here last week, I would encourage you, listen to last week's message. It was pretty good. Now you say, well, that's pretty boastful. No, listen, I come to church and I come to hear what I have to say sometimes. You know, because God comes in, man, he shares some stuff like, wow, where did that come from? It was good. And so last week was pretty decent. Amen. Price of admission, it was worth it, right? Anyway. We need to talk, man. You need to. I just like busting his chops. Amen. So he says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you'll ask what you will and it will be done for you. The scripture actually is saying, Jesus is saying that if you'll come and be one with me, and if you'll become unified with me, if my word becomes one with you, you'll ask whatever you will, and it will be done for you. Amen. Over, I believe it's in John's Gospel, chapter 14. He says, whatever you ask in my name, that I'll do for you. There's one translation that actually says it this way. Whatever you demand of me, that I'll do. Demand of God? Well, you're not commanding as though he has to take orders from you. No, you've become one with him and one with the word. So therefore, God, your word says, it's my promise, therefore, I'm putting a demand on the word that you've given me. Praise God. Health and healing belongs to me. Praise God. Provision belongs to me. Soundness of mind belongs to me. Praise God. He says, if you'll become one with me, if that becomes your identity. You know, the Bible also says this over in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, concerning a husband and wife, it says that the two shall become one. Well, the more that I've spent time with my wife, in fact, this year is 25 years. She's put up with me for, well, over 25 years. Praise God. But 25 years. The longer that we have spent together, there are things that we do that are like each other. We've become one. And the longer that I've spent time with her, the more I enjoy her company. The more that I love her. The more that I want to be with her. The more that when she's gone, the more that I long for her because she's gone. Why? Because we've become one. Well, don't you know that the Bible says that he likens our relationship with God as a husband and wife? That you would become one with him. Well, has your fellowship with God, is it as comfortable as it is with your spouse? See, now we start talking like that and like, well, no, wait a minute. It's not quite like that. It's based on a Sunday morning relationship. No, God wants to spend time with you every day. He wants to have fellowship with you. Amen. What are you willing to invest so that he can pour back into your life? Amen. You doing all right this morning? When it comes to our lives, as I said, if it's based on the word, if we become one with the word, how many of you know that his word is his promise? And he says that his promises are yes and amen. Or in other words, so be it. Well, when it comes to my wife, there are things that I've just come to expect because of our relationship, right? And not that you put a demand on the service. You've just developed a relationship that, man, my wife treats me good. And I just know how she'll respond, right? I know that if she says something, she'll do it. You know, the other day I said when I went fishing, well, I got up early in the morning. Well, she got up with me. And you know what she's doing? She's packing me a lunch. She's getting my lunch and my drinks all ready and getting it all packed away. There you go. Why? Because she loves me. Well, that was something that I was looking forward to and hoping she would do. Yeah. And thankfully she did. But listen, if she tells me she's going to do something, I know that she will honor her word because of the relationship that we have together. Right? Now, if she tells me to do something, or if she does that often, if she tells me she's going to do something, I don't have to go back and beg her and say, are you going to do it? Well, I already told you I was going to do it. Yeah, but are you going to do it? And then, hey, are you going to do that? I told you I was going to do that, right? I just know that I can trust her, and I don't have to beg her to do what she said she was going to do because we've become one. When it comes to God's word, there is a fellowship that we have with the word of God. But so oftentimes, when we go to ask God, we're asking as though he's withholding. We're asking as though there's something that he has that we are trying to get, but we got to do things just so. But concerning his word is forever settled, and it belongs to you and me. Let me give you an example. Concerning salvation, do you have to try and get salvation from God? Is it something that he alone possesses? No. God already paid the price through Christ for salvation. Therefore, salvation is a free gift from God. So we don't have to ask God for salvation. All we have to do is receive salvation. Amen? And how many of you know that there are millions of people that are in hell today that are forgiven of sin? Let me say it again. There are millions of people that are in hell today that are free and forgiven of sin. You say, how is that? Because Jesus already paid the price. They just did not receive the gift that was given. Hello? So when it comes to everything else to God, why do we act like God has something that we're trying to get? And dear God, we got to jump through hoops in order to get it. Amen. You doing okay? I said we're just trying to share what the Holy Spirit wants us to share this morning. Amen. So, concerning healing. The Bible says that healing belongs to us. It's not something that we're trying to get. It's something that we have. But yet we approach God as though we're trying to get it from Him. Well, the only reason why we question of whether or not we can receive healing really comes down to a matter of fellowship with Him or oneness with Him. Why is church such a challenging thing for so many people? I mean, the Bible says, the Word says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, even as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But oh, dear God, it's such a difficult thing to go to church. Why is it difficult? Because there's a lack of fellowship. If there was true, genuine fellowship, man, when I get to church, dear God, I get to see Doug. Man, Doug encourages me every time. He praises and worships God, and the team leads us in worship. Oh, man, I can't wait to see so-and-so. Man, I get edified when I get around God's body, the people of God. Oh, dear God, you know, when it comes to church, they're going to say it's time to tithe and it's time to give offering. Why is it that we struggle about tithing or giving? It's in the Word. If I'm one with the Word, shouldn't it be easy? Because God's promises are forever settled. The reason that I struggle is because I think that I've earned this money and I don't know if God will honor His Word. And therefore, it's a result of I've not got fellowship with God in this area. And so therefore, I'm afraid to trust Him. And God is longing to become one with us. Once again, when it comes to the Word, we think that faith moves God. It does not move God. The Bible says that faith pleases God, but faith does not move God. In fact, don't we often say, I need healing in my body. I need a financial miracle. And if I just get enough faith, God will answer my prayers. God will give me what I'm praying for. So that means that God is withholding something from us until there's the condition of having enough faith? No. Healing, provision, salvation belongs to humanity. And it's not a carrot that He's dangling in front of us if we get enough faith. No, He says the just shall live and walk by faith. But what does your faith do? Why does God want you to become one with the Word? So that the Word is so real to you that your faith moves you. Did you hear what I said? It's not getting enough faith so that you move God. It's getting enough faith that it moves me. Oh, come on, you said I got cancer? Listen, my faith is moving that cancer. I don't care what they say. I don't care how long they said I got to live. Bless the Lord. I know who I am. I know what Jesus did. And therefore, the Word said it. That means it's settled forever in heaven. Praise God. I'm the healed of the Lord. Amen. We encourage our faith, build our faith, so that our faith moves us. Not trying to move God in order to get something. That's why church has made receiving from God so difficult. You see, God's not wanting you to jump through the hoops. He's wanting you to make an investment in fellowship with Him. To know Him. To experience Him. To have oneness with Him. You doing all right? Amen. Let me just close with a couple parting thoughts. In this hour, well, let me just say this. The title of our message, we didn't even make note of it. It's the 101 at the 911. It's the basics that are at an emergency state within the church. Meaning it's the simple, basic, elementary beliefs of the church that so many people are unfamiliar with nowadays. And so these are the things that we're talking about that will set us over in life. Amen. Church is a vital part of your walk with God. Why is it? Because you are the representation of the people you spend the most time with. Amen. Whoever you hang out with the most is going to be your lid. Have you ever noticed? Now, this isn't a criticism, but have you ever noticed how impoverished people only hang out with impoverished people? Because their poverty becomes their lid. And that we sit back and look at the wealthy people and say, well, did you ever notice that that's all the wealthy people, the high on the hogs, the real rich and famous people that hang out with the rich and famous people? Yeah, it is. Because that becomes the lid, or that becomes the affiliation. So you are a direct result of the most people that you allow to invest in your life. And therefore, you might say, you know, when it comes to church, I don't know anything about anything. Good. Start hanging around somebody that does. Well, that intimidates me. Listen, it don't matter. Just be flat. I don't know nothing. I'm dumb as a box of rocks. That's why I'm hanging out with you, Dave. I need to know Jesus. And every time I get around you, you help me feel like I know Jesus better, Dave. And if Dave has love in his heart for me, he's going to say, listen, I'll love you in spite of how stupid you are. Come on, hang out with me. Right? Because he wants me to experience what he's experienced. And he's willing to invest in me. So therefore, again, it might seem as though it's intimidating. But no, get around people that have been places you've never been before. Naturally, spiritually, emotionally. Let's raise the lid and let's experience God's best. You know, there was a guy that I know. He's an insurance salesman for our church. And his mom was an individual that was a single mom. His dad committed suicide, and she was just a General Motors worker. That's all he saw, all he knew. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there was different men within her life throughout the years. And so this is the environment that he grew up in. Well, there's nothing wrong with a General Motors lifestyle, but you realize he could have said, you know what, if I just work for General Motors, I'll be okay. If I just make it like mom and dad did, I'll be okay. But then he started dating this one young lady. And man, how many of you know a young lady will just rattle your world sometimes? So he started dating this young lady. And he said, I wasn't saved at the time, but she was saved. And she invited me over to her mom and dad's house. And they were very wealthy. Had a big house. And when I walked in there, he said, her dad loved on me. And he said, and after a while, I got saved and I received Jesus. And he said, you know what that man did? He took me under his wing. And because I started hanging around him, I started thinking bigger, talking bigger, seeing bigger because of the influence of that man in my life. He didn't settle for what he came from. He allowed there to be influences in his life to bring him up higher and to live at a higher level and place in life. That can be so in your walk with God. Get around people that have been places you've not been before, even if it's uncomfortable. You talk about praying in other tongues. Oh, dear God, I've never done that before. Listen, you hang around, you'll find out that, man, there is a power that's available to you, that the Word of God is, oh, my goodness, there's so much to it. Come on. And you say, I'll hang around long enough. They think that I'm one of them. I might as well be one of them. All right. Praise God. Amen. God wants us to experience His best. Amen. And so I'll leave you with this final thought. God is not withholding. He is waiting to pour out all that He said is available. Now, I'm going to give you an experiment or do an experiment here. And hopefully it will go as according to plan. But I have $20 here. And I know we've got some young people, some teenagers here in this room. And so, for any teenager that wants this $20, if they'll come up and get this $20, they can have it. She was closer. Should have been on the front row, man.
That was close. You can always get that.
I can, yeah. I know where she lives. Yeah. Now here, let me tell you something. Here's what I anticipated. Just to kind of, it didn't play out the way that I thought it might. But I thought that the youth would come up and stand up in front of me and say, okay, you said I could have it. I didn't say they could have it. I said, whoever wants this, come up and get it. So they'd come down here and stand in front of me saying, okay, I'm here. And if they would have stood there, I'd have come over here and I'd have said, hey, whoever in the room wants the $20, come up here and get it. What's the difference? The example is this. Too many believers, because of the lack of fellowship, of oneness with Him, we're acting like we're waiting to receive from God. And God says, it's yours. Just come and get it. Just come and get it. So if you're in this room, stand with me this morning. If you're in this room, if you're watching online, and you have need of healing in your body, you do not have to jump through hoops. You don't have to do so many Hail Marys. You don't have to read so many scriptures. Here's something that you know. The Bible says that by His stripes you are healed. Not trying to get healed, but you are the healed of the Lord. If you're here and you say, I've been struggling mentally, emotionally. Listen, the Bible says that He has given you soundness of mind. Not a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. So therefore, it's not something that you have to try to get. Today is your day to say, I want it today. I receive it today in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you say, I need a money miracle. Praise God. Then today is your day to say that the Lord is my supplier. And therefore, God knew where I would be right here, right now. And therefore, that means the supply was made available for this day. And therefore, I'm not asking for it, waiting for it. I receive it now by faith. So if you're here, and you said, I need physical healing, emotional healing. I need a touch in my finances. If you're here and you say, I just want to come back into a relationship with God. I've walked away from God. If you're watching online and you're saying, I just need Jesus, then I'm going to pray a prayer with you. And whatever you have need of, you grab hold of it and receive it now. Now you say, how can I receive? Listen, I have been giving and giving and giving the word for the last 30 minutes. So now, all you have to do is receive from that which was sown. Are you ready to receive? Lift your hands up if that's you that needs something from God. Father, in the name of Jesus, We pray for every single person in this place. If they do not know you, if they want to come back to a relationship with you, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would fall afresh on them, that you would breathe life into them, and that there would be a newness and a walk with you that they've never experienced before. Those that are here watching online, we thank you for a new day in Jesus Christ. For those that are online, those that are here presently, that have a need in their body, in their minds, in their emotions, in Jesus' name, we say, be healed in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that we don't wait for it. We don't look to jump through the hoops. No, right now, we receive what you said is available. I receive healing in my body, provision in my bank account, soundness in my mind, wholeness in my marriage. It's a new day because I'm one with you in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. Praise God. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I said that we're doing things a little bit different, and so I hope you don't mind. Are you okay with that? Because I'm telling you what, these are days that we're believing God's best. So, offering envelopes, if they're in front of you, if you want to fill one of those out to give in your tithe and offering, you can do it by check, you can do it by Visa, you can do it by credit or debit card, you can do it by text, whatever the case is, you'll see the things up on the screen there. Listen, this is your opportunity to give into the kingdom of God, to receive a harvest. How many of you know that this is good soil and good seed, good ground to sow seed into? Amen? You hide and watch, devil. This place is about ready to bust loose and break out. Praise God. Come on, look to that seat next to you. If it's empty, that seat that you're sitting right next to that's empty, that's what this offering's going to. Somebody is coming to fill that seat. You're making it available. Amen?
And with that, we come to the end of this episode. We hope that you have found inspiration and encouragement in our discussion today, and we invite you to join us again next week. Let's make 2023 a year of growth and love by sharing the message of our church with others. We encourage you to take the Plus One Challenge this week and invite someone to join you at our next worship service. You can get more information about our church and say hi to us anytime from our website or social media, all online at gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.